The Psalms. We haven't talked much about the Psalms lately, and I regret that. What I love about the Psalms is that they are extremely human, and yet at the same time, deeply spiritual. People wrote the Psalms from their deepest fears, their darkest depressions, their worst troubles. You see people struggling with their faith, reaching up from their low places to the only one who could help them, the God who is on high. And no writer of the Psalms did a better job at this than the chief psalmist, David. So today, in this celebration of Psalms, we want to consider David, his life, his challenges, his failures, his triumphs, and the beauty of his poetic art. It's very important that we understand his background and his struggles if we hope to understand the Psalms he wrote. About 3,000 years ago, there was a king in Israel. His name was Saul. Though King Saul came from humble beginnings, his heart became proud, and he put his own interests and glory above the God who placed him in his high office. So God rejected him as king and told his prophet Samuel that David was his choice to succeed Saul as king, even when David was a very young man, something King Saul was unaware of at the time. David's rise to prominence began when the Philistine champion Goliath taunted the army of Israel, and only David had the courage to face him. And with only a sling and a stone, he brought down the great warrior. So King Saul recognized David's abilities and appointed him to be one of his captains, even made him his son-in-law. But soon, when Saul saw how successful and popular David had become, he became jealous of David. And one day, King Saul sent men to kill David, but he escaped into the wilderness. While in hiding from Saul, David wrote many psalms, and consider the daily challenge to his faith that he had to wrestle with. On one hand, God had told him that he was loved, protected, and bound for the glory of the kingship. That's what God told him. But what his eyes told him was that he was hated, hunted, and bound to be slaughtered any day by the most powerful man in the country. People David had trusted turned against him, and he was driven away from everyone and everything he knew and loved into a miserable desert to hide in caves and mountainsides. Worst of all to him, he was driven far from the house of God and the people of God. And so David had a choice. Was he going to trust all his senses that told him God had abandoned him? Or was he going to trust God and God's word? And we see this struggle expressed in many of his psalms. So let's begin with Psalm 57. It says right there in the superscription that he wrote it when he had fled from Saul into the cave. Have mercy on me, my God, have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who vindicates me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends forth his love and his faithfulness. I am in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. I think we've all been cut by the sharp swords of tongues. We know what that's like. Then he says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Now notice how often Psalms begin with complaint and sadness and melancholy. But as the psalmist reflects on the nature of God, the faithfulness of God, the word of God, that sadness turns to praise. Now we go to Psalm 13. It begins with a complaint. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long, he asks. The days go by and the promises of God for David haven't materialized. He's running for his life and hiding in the wilderness. And this did not last a few days or weeks or months. It lasted years. Verse 2, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? How long? Well, there's an answer for that question that I'll save for the end. But haven't we asked such questions? Don't we ask such questions now? And it's okay to ask, as we see David did it. And we see these psalms, and we identify with their sentiments. And God gave us these psalms for one reason, so that we would know just how much he identifies with our struggles. But they're also a blueprint for prayer. And we can pray them back to God, word for word, as the expression of our own hearts. And there's ministry for our hearts in that exercise. They are also a roadmap that brings us from very dark places back into the light of God's presence and blessing. Verse 3, look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But now listen as his heart turns from complaint to trust, because he knows God has heard him and will come to his aid. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Let's look at Psalm 11. It's got a lot of similarities. In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird into your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. But what, we may ask, does this have to do with us? Well, yes, there are real killers out there, but we don't usually come across them. Rather, we face things even more menacing, spiritual forces of evil. Well, their arrows are just as deadly as an assassin. As we see in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which we've read on different occasions, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That is, not against the people, as David's struggle was, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Well, that's what Paul tells us. So when we read these psalms, it's most helpful to us to apply them to our spiritual struggle, which is the true struggle, the real struggle in any age. That's what those psalms are for. But back to Psalm 11, David says, verse 3, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? David sees the injustice. Evil seems to be winning. Even age-old foundations are being destroyed by violent men. Foundations of goodness and righteousness and truth. Now, David might be thinking of this when he penned those words. Saul and his men slaughtered 85 priests of the Lord because he suspected that they were conspiring with David against him. Well, they weren't, but just based on suspicion, he had them and their whole families slaughtered. David saw Saul and his followers destroying good and godly foundations, and he feels totally helpless. He asks, what can the righteous do? Not much. Not by themselves, anyway. But then he comes up with the answer. Verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes everyone on earth. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous. But the wicked, those who love violence, he hates with a passion. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see his face. God will have the last word, as he does in Saul's life. You read that Saul's evil life came to a very bitter end. Now, this next psalm, Psalm 42, is a great example of a man reasoning with his own heart and soul, something we should do every day. Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? Well, these things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Some of David's psalms begin not with complaint, but with confidence, and maintain that confidence throughout, even when that confidence is being mustered in the very face of great troubles, great opposition, as we see in Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We see David reasoning with his own soul once again. He sees his enemies, his mighty enemies, and he feels fear welling up within him. But then he looks to his God, and he sees that his God is bigger than those enemies. He knows his God is loving and will come to his aid. So he refuses to give way to fear. In fact, that would dishonor his God to do so. So instead of doubting, he chooses faith. Verse 2, when the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me. An army? Well, that's no small problem. Yet he says, my heart will not fear. The war break out against me. War? Well, that's no little challenge. Yet he says, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Now he gives reason for his confidence and for his desire to be in the house of God. Verse 5, for in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. So even if those closest to us fail us, he will not. Do we have reason to fear, to have anxiety? Well, then this psalm is medicine for the soul. The next verse, teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes. For false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. False witnesses, malicious accusations. I think we can relate with that. But that's okay, because David's next words, which were true for him and just as true for us, yet I remain confident of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Now, I promised to answer the question, how long? Well, we get a clue in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, where it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. The answer to the question, how long, is that as long as it takes for the Lord to work in us what he wants to work. Why was David experiencing all those difficulties for so long? Well, God was preparing him for the kingship, to be the overseer of his own people. Even as he is preparing us for service to his kingdom on this earth, but far more, to be fit for service in the life to come. From glory to glory, he's changing us to be conformed to the image of his Son. So we should consider the trials as pure joy. We are being fitted for heavenly works and heavenly places.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan Buffett, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.